We've been studying lessons about stewardship, and I want to close out our study about this subject tonight by just reminding us that stewardship is a way of life. Now, I'm going to use an acrostic tonight to talk about different aspects of stewardship. And I use the word stewardship, and that has 11 letters, so hang on, but I'm doing this for a purpose. Just to let you know that stewardship is a way of life, and it affects every aspect of life. Consider these aspects of it. S, let that stand for service. Service and stewardship really are one and the same. Service is the focus of stewardship. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, or verse 11 says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. S is for service, which is a key component of stewardship. T is for time. We devoted a lesson to this, stewardship of our time. And it is something that is entrusted to us for us to use to God's glory as stewards. Ephesians 5, see then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or buying up the opportunity, because the days are evil. E is for energy. Our energy is entrusted to us to be used as a stewardship, to be viewed as a stewardship. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. Even our energy is to be used. We'll give account of how we've used our energy one day. Wealth. W is for wealth. And God is interested in how we use our financial blessings. We're to be stewards of our material possessions. Command those who are rich in this present world, Paul wrote to Timothy, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good works and in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Notice that as Paul gave this instruction to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, command those who are rich to be rich in good works and being generous and sharing. And the message, again, is stewardship, that God expects us to use our material possessions, any wealth that we have, to His glory and in His service. A is for abilities. We've emphasized this. Each one should use whatever gift he has, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Whatever abilities we have, and everyone has different abilities, whatever it is, or whatever they are, they're to be used in God's service. It's another aspect of stewardship. R is for relationships. Have you considered that? That even the relationships that we have with family, with friends, with our church family, with our neighbors, we're stewards of those relationships. God expects us to use those and to treat those as gifts that have been entrusted to us. Colossians 3 just gives some regulations regarding any of those and all of those relationships. As God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that applies to all relationships. We're going to give an account one day of how we've used our relationships with one another. Have we treated others the way God wants us to? D is for deeds and deliberations. Had to use two words here. It refers to our actions and even the thoughts that we think. We discussed one evening stewardship of our minds and how we're to use our minds for God's glory. Paul would say, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, whatever deed you do, do all to the glory of God. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Stewardship applies to our deeds and our deliberations. It applies to our use of the sword of the Spirit, for the second S in the word stewardship. Take the helmet of salvation, Paul says, as he's encouraging those Christians at Ephesus and all of us today to put on the whole armor of God, including the helmet of salvation, and wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we are stewards of this word, as we discussed last Sunday evening. By the way, Brother Albert pointed this out to me. We made reference to a song, Into Our Hands the Gospel is Given, the music by Tillett S. Tedley, words by Ruth, can't remember her name, Caruth, I believe. It is in our songbook under a different title, Swiftly We're Turning. But into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Into our hands is given the word. It's a stewardship. We're to use it properly. The sword of the Spirit. H could stand for homes. This is another blessing God gives us, our families. And we're to use those relationships, we're to view those relationships as something that's akin to stewardship. Joshua says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods whom your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our families were to view as blessings were to use to God's glory. God's keenly interested in how we use those relationships. Are we treating them the way that He wants us to? Are we guiding one another to make this choice that Joshua and his house did? Another wonderful passage that teaches this is Psalm 127, which contains these words. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. In what way are we pointing our children? That's a stewardship. God expects us to point our children back to Him. Even our influence, eyes for influence, is a matter of stewardship. We must make sure that we're using our influence for good and not for bad. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And finally, P could stand for many things, including prayer. Even the privilege of prayer is a stewardship entrusted to us. How are we using it? Listen to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11. Paul pleads, help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Another version stated it like this, please help us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks for the blessings we receive in answer to all these prayers. Pray without ceasing, Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a privilege that we have. It's a blessing of which we're to be stewards. So yes, I used all 11 letters of that word stewardship, but my point is this, that stewardship applies to every aspect of our lives. In every aspect of my life, I am a steward. So I hope that gives us a vantage point of everything, of every blessing that we have. We could have listed many, many more, but in every aspect of our lives, I am a steward. Stewardship does not contain the letter O, But that's what I want us to focus on tonight. Other aspects of our lives in which we are stewards are the opportunities that we have. So then, as you have opportunity, Paul says, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Including the opportunities that we have to encourage other people. I want us to do a biographical study for a few moments tonight of a man that I believe was a good steward of the blessings that he had, not only of his financial, his wealth, but also of his ability to encourage other people. Many of you, your minds probably have already gone to this Christian by the name of Barnabas, called the son of encouragement. This man never wrote an epistle. To our knowledge, he never founded a major congregation, but he did do a lot of great things. We refer to him most of all by the nickname that he was given, but his name given to him at birth was Joseph. No, he wasn't the earthly father of Jesus. He wasn't the Joseph of Arimathea who wrapped Jesus' body to be buried. He wasn't the son of Jacob who had the coat of many colors. But he was Joseph, whom the apostles named Barnabas. Look with me to Acts 4 and verse 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, and Luke gives us this definition, which is translated son of encouragement. He was a Levite of the country of Cyprus. It's my understanding that many times the Hebrews would say son of some quality. And what they would mean by that is that person was characterized by that quality. So when the apostles named Barnabas, or Joseph, Barnabas, what they were saying was he is an encouraging person. And as we study about his life tonight, we'll see that indeed this nickname was extremely appropriate and fitting for this man, because the way that he encouraged other people in many ways in his life. Let's look at some of those ways. And we'll be looking in the book of Acts tonight. I want to begin in Acts chapter 4, where we read about how the apostles named Barnabas. I want to read a few verses preceding that, beginning in verse 32, to talk about how the early church was very giving. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. So there were several Christians who were property owners who would sell property, sell land, and bring the money from the sale of that land and laid it at the apostles' feet, who would in turn share it with those who were hurting, who were struggling. And Joseph, whom we call Barnabas, was one of those. Verse 36. Joseph, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So he was of some wealth, enough to have some land, and he sold it, brought the proceeds for the intent purpose of the apostles sharing it with his fellow Christians, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who were struggling, who had physical needs. And he shared it all, not like Ananias and Sapphira that we read about in beginning in chapter 5, who kept back some of the proceeds with the idea that they were indeed giving it all. And we realize God punished them for lying. But one of the ways that Barnabas encouraged other people was by his liberality, by his generosity. He was willing to sell something that he had to help meet the needs of those who were hurting within the family of God. We can also encourage others by being generous with the blessings that we have, by sharing with those who are in need. Another way that Barnabas was an encourager was by believing the best about others. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. The main subject in Acts chapter 9 is about Saul. We read about him in chapter 8. And how he was involved in persecuting the church. In chapter 7, when we're first introduced to him, holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. And chapter 9 talks about how Saul was busy, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, Acts 9 and verse 1. And he went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, speaking of the way of Christ, Christianity, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So we understand he's very zealous about persecuting Christians. He believes as a Jew that Christianity is a threat. So he's on his way to Damascus to find, even in this foreign city, Christians and bring them back bound to Jerusalem. And if it was determined that they were to be put to death, then he would consent to it. On the way to Damascus, you'll remember, he saw this bright light. And Jesus spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Paul the persecutor, he's actually called Saul here, becomes Saul the penitent. He's indeed sorry for what he's done. He doesn't eat and he prays for several days until he's told to go to Ananias. Ananias baptizes him into Christ. He becomes a Christian. And then he begins to preach the very Jesus that he was seeking to destroy, his influence. And he's persecuted for doing so. That brings us to the end of chapter 9. And in his persecution, it's determined he's to go back to Jerusalem. Well, now he's a Christian, and now he wants to identify himself with the other Christians in Jerusalem, where, mind you, he has done his work of persecuting them. And it's no wonder that we read verse 26, "When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple." Because they've known Saul. They've known that he's a persecutor of Christians. And now the report is, and he's saying, "I'm a Christian now. And so I want to be identified with you. I want to join hands with you, join efforts in the kingdom of God, and be a part of the congregation there at Jerusalem." But they're suspicious. They doubt he is truly converted. Enter Barnabas. Verse 27. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Barnabas is saying, this is his story. Barnabas is saying, let's accept him. He was believing the best about Saul. And what a blessing this was to Saul, who became Paul. It was that Barnabas that really stood up for him, believed the best about him, and encouraged Saul incredibly. Barnabas was also an encouraging person by being a peacemaker. Turn over two chapters to chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, I want to read in verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. This was a misunderstanding that the gospel was to be for the Jews only. It took divine revelation for them to realize that the gospel was for all. It's for the Gentiles as well. Verse 20, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Hellenists were people identifying themselves with Greek culture, customs, and language. They were Gentiles. And so here are some of these Christians that were scattered because of persecution, preaching the gospel to Gentiles, and many of them became Christians. Verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Jews and Gentiles, you know the enmity. But now here are some Gentiles that are becoming Christians. And so here's this dynamic of former enemies now being added to the same body, the body of Christ. They needed someone that could go and minister to them and help them go through this transition of realizing they're no longer enemies, but they're one in Christ. And guess who they send? But Barnabas. Verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. It goes on to describe a little bit more about Barnabas. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. He encouraged by being a peacemaker, by embracing these Gentiles that had become Christians, and by explaining to the Jews we're all one in Christ, and through his encouragement, many more obey the gospel. He's such an encouraging person, even by being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Barnabas was also an encourager, and he was a steward of encouragement by being a co-worker. Acts chapter 13. In this chapter, we find the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. In Acts 13, verse 2, we find these words. As they ministered, this is in Antioch, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And the work was the spreading of the gospel to other lands, to the Gentiles. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. But notice the Holy Spirit separated Saul or Paul and Barnabas. Who better to go? Who better to go and encourage others to obey the gospel? Who better to go and be an associate of Saul or Paul and encourage him and go through persecution with him? They suffered together. They worked together. But no doubt, there's no question that Paul received a lot of encouragement by having a co-worker in the Lord. We can be stewards of this ministry of encouragement by being co-workers, laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. I love the words of Albert Camus. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Just walk beside me and be my friend. That's something each and every one of us can do. And by so doing, we can encourage. It was during this first missionary journey that John Mark turned. He had been gone with them. he went back home. The scriptures don't say why, whether he was homesick or because of the persecution, was afraid. But at any rate, verse 13 of Acts chapter 13 tells us that John Mark went back home. But that brings us to the final thing I want to point out about Barnabas, the steward of encouragement, is that he encouraged others by giving them a second chance. Acts chapter 15, verse 36, Paul told Barnabas that he wanted to go back and visit the brethren in the cities where they had preached the gospel to see how these new Christians were doing. Barnabas agreed to this and he says, I want to take John Mark with us. Paul, remembering that John Mark had left them during the first missionary journey, didn't want to do that. Verse 37 of Acts 15. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And the disagreement was so decisive here that they went their separate ways. They didn't stop doing the work of God, however. Paul chose Silas, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. You see, Barnabas was willing to give John Mark a second chance. I want him to go with me. I want him to go with me. I want to give him a second chance. We can encourage others. We can be stewards of this gift of encouragement by giving others another chance. By the way, Paul would later change his mind about John Mark. In what was probably his last letter, he wrote to Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in my ministry." You see, stewardship applies to every aspect of our lives, including the opportunities that we have to serve and even to encourage. My prayer for us is that we'll be good stewards of all the blessings that God has given to us, that He's entrusted to us. But let's be good stewards also of the stewardship of encouragement as Barnabas. Let's be a Barnabas to those around us. We want to encourage you tonight if you've not obeyed the gospel. By the way, there's a young lady that obeyed the gospel after Bible classes this morning, Alandra Wedgeworth, who is one of the children of Heather and Robin Rios, was baptized into Christ. Let's encourage this young lady as she begins her walk with God. And there may be others that have been contemplating that. And again, we want to encourage you to take those initial steps of obedience. Become a child of God. Be baptized into Christ. Devote your life to Him. And if we can encourage you in other ways, if you're going through some struggle, or if you need to come back as one who's wandered away, we want to encourage you to let that be known. Let us pray with you and for you that we can continue to work together in the service of our Lord. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, please come right now as we stand and sing.